So starting today, for the next few weeks I'll be here. Next couple of weeks. I'm going to think about the theme of temptations that we face. And today we're going to think about the temptation that says, I don't need to change. I'm okay. I don't need to change. The temptation to think we're fine as we are. So I heard of a preacher once who was preaching in a very small congregation, and he was preaching about the evils of attending the dances on Saturday night. The few elder ladies who were in the congregation clutched their walking sticks more firmly, determined never to yield to the temptation to attend the dances on the Saturday night, and thought to themselves about how terrible it was that people would go to the dances on Saturday night. When I speak about temptations over the next few Sunday mornings, I'm not going to do what that preacher did. It's a story I was told actually in the Free Church College a long time ago. For those elderly ladies with their walking sticks and their Zimmers, there wasn't really any temptation to attend the dance on a Saturday night. Whether or not attending it would have been the wrong thing to do is another question altogether. That very much depends not on the dance, but on the attitude of the dancer. But in any case, what I don't want to do is to speak about temptation in a way that's abstract for you. I don't want you to be sitting there thinking, you know, I don't feel anything like a temptation towards anything that Roddy's speaking about here. This is not for me. But there's obviously some terrible people out there who have these temptations, but I'm not one of them. So I don't want us to think it's irrelevant. I don't want people to think, you know, the message when we're speaking about a temptation is for people over there, it's for her that's sitting over there. And I mustn't do that when I'm preparing it. And you know, the temptation of the preacher to prepare, and then you're thinking, well, this bit is for so-and-so in the congregation. We must never do that either as preachers. And we must never, when we're listening to sermons, you know, think, I'm okay on this point, and get smug and get complacent. So the first temptation that story brings us to really is the temptation to think that we can be smug, and that we can be happy about the way we are as we are, and complacent. I don't need to change. Other people might need to change, but I don't need to change. So stop and think about that for a minute. Can you feel that in yourself today? Do you feel that you're kind of just going along nicely in life and you're okay? You'd like other people around you to change, but you're okay. Is there any of that in you? And there must be. There must be. Because it's very much something that every one of us knows something about. I don't need to change. So if we think about Nicodemus first, we read two stories. We think about Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus at night. Doesn't want to be seen with Jesus. That in itself is something that needs to change. And he starts speaking. He says, this is what we know. This is what we're talking about. And among the Pharisees, we think you're a teacher who's come from God because you're doing miracles. And you couldn't do miracles if you weren't from God. And Jesus stops him there. And Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Unless he is born again. He goes on to say this a couple more times in the passage. You must be born again. He's speaking not just to Nicodemus, it's a plural you. You all, you Pharisees, all you people, you have to be born again, because if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't get to Jesus' place unless you're born again. Now, it might be that what Jesus said to Nicodemus would be the last thing in the world you or I would think he was about to say to Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus, you know, looks to be a pretty decent guy. He's got a long list of credentials about how religious and how godly he is. But Jesus says to him, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And being born is a very radical change. You've got to change. You and I, we've got to change. And we might think already today, but Roddy, you don't know how much I've changed already. Or we might even say to God, God, I you know I was and you know who I am now. I have changed. But it's not really so much about what's happened, it's about where you are now. Are you tempted to think because you have changed, you don't need to change anymore? Because you must be born again. Is God changing you now? Is the question. Or we come to the rich young ruler, and he asks how he can have eternal life. And Jesus tells him the commandments. It's a kind of test, really, because the commandments are not going to give him life. He needs Jesus. And he's going to tell him to follow him. You'll see that later on there. It's Jesus he needs. He's never going to keep the commandments. But anyway, Jesus tells him the commandments, and listen to what he says. Teacher, I've kept them. I'm good to go for the kingdom of God. I'm good to go for eternal life. I don't need to change, because I'm already doing the right thing. I'm already a good guy. I'm already one of God's good guys. And Jesus says to him, you don't even begin to see what's in your heart. I don't even begin to see what's in my heart. Have you any idea of how much more you love money than you love God? So, here's what will show it. Sell what you have. Doesn't tell every Christian to do this. He says this to this man because he loves money. And he wants to show this man his own heart. And the man loves money and he can't do it. He just can't even begin to think about it. He doesn't even say to Jesus, you know, I really want to follow you. If that's what I have to do, you know that's really hard. You know, help me. How can I do this? And Jesus would have helped him. But he doesn't even begin to consider it because he loves money so much. It's inconceivable to him that he would give any of it away. He thought he was okay as he was. I've kept all the commandments. But actually he's rotten with avarice, with greed in his heart. The change that's required in this man is absolutely massive. And he doesn't think he needs to change at all. So, are we kind of tuning into this now? Let me show you some diagrams. I don't know. This is a kind of dartboard. And there's the bullseye there. There's nothing in that bullseye. But let's say these different green dots, they're people. If you read the words there, you know, the person in the green dot near the top is beside weird. Someone who's just weird. Someone over there to the right is mean and selfish. The red dot, let's say that's me. Everyone is somewhere on that dartboard, if you like. Everyone has their own particular characteristics, but no one is actually in the bullseye. No one is actually where they should be. So if I'm in that red, if I'm that red dot, I'm haughty and I'm selfish. You can ask Margaret if that fits. I just put that red dot where it is. No particular reason. But we're all there. We've all got our own characteristics. None of us is what we should be. Every one of us needs to change. So now I'm in the bullseye. But this is the amazing thing that we tend to manage to do with ourselves. We manage to put ourselves in the centre, as though we're okay, as though we're the good people, and everyone else is out there not quite right, and everyone else needs to change, and she's selfish, and he's greedy, and she's mean, and he's just weird, and so on. Everyone's just not us. If only they were like us. And we manage to do that. We manage to think that, you know, it's the problem with us as other people. And so we argue. We all do it. We say, you know, we get in little arguments with people. And I know it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. So I'm in the bullseye. And it's your fault. You're out there. You're not where you should be. You should be in the bullseye with me. But no one's really in the bullseye in the back. That's the real picture. But I managed to, this is the deceit of the human heart, I managed to get myself to think I'm okay and everyone else is wrong. The true picture is, that doesn't show very well, that little yellow sun in the middle doesn't really come out so well, is Jesus. And everyone else is in the wrong place, and the only one who's really in the right place is Jesus. And this is the problem then that causes this idea, I don't need to change. It's the problem that I can somehow put myself in a way of thinking that everyone else is wrong and I don't need to change. Well, what effect does that have? I mean, can we begin to think of the kind of things that are wrong in our lives if we're people who think, you know, I'm actually okay. I'm in church. Yeah, there's a lot of people in this community who are not in church today, but I'm in the bullseye. I'm okay. I'm okay today. Yeah, you know, I'm looked up to. I'm a good citizen. You know, I try to do the right thing. Try to abide by the law of the land. I try to do good for my neighbour and so on. And we manage to get ourselves in the bullseye. If we are people who think that we're okay, but it's other people, and so, you know, we can criticise them, what kind of sin happens? Well, here's a few. So, you think you're okay. You think you don't need to change. You're lazy. Because lazy people don't change because they can't be bothered. You're not prepared to think about that, make the effort to think. You're self-righteous. That is, you think you don't need any other goodness than your own. You're judgmental. You think, you know, because you think you're okay, you can point the finger at other people. Say, isn't it terrible what they're doing? And what about her over there? And how dare he darken the door of the church? And all that sort of thing. It's horrible. It's really horrible when we get to know our hearts. We're unbelieving. In other words, the things that Jesus says, you must be born again. You know, go sell all you have, he says to some of us. He says, you know, you need to change. You need to change this. You change this attitude. You change this priority. You change the way you're living. But we're not believing that. We're unbelieving. We're rejecting Jesus, as it says there. We're rejecting Jesus. In other words, Jesus is not really getting into our lives because we're in the bullseye, so he's not. And so he's out there somewhere, and he's wrong. Because we're quite happy as we are, and he's telling us we need to repent and believe, but we're not doing that. So he's wrong in our minds. We are thinking we're okay. It's pretty serious, the temptation, to yield to the temptation to think we don't need to change. We're proud. You know, we're full of who who we are, how good we are, self-satisfied, complacent, all these kinds of things. But the challenge that Jesus brings to us is, you must be born again. Now, when I was studying this, one thing struck me. I've always read that up until now, thinking that Jesus is speaking about how to become a Christian. You know, you think about Dr. Billy Graham and the great worldwide mission evangelism. This is one of his favourite texts. You must be born again. Any evangelist, this is one of their top texts. They speak to a bunch of people who are not Christians, say, you've got to be born again. And then people receive Jesus. They say, yes, I see my life is not the way it should be, and I need Jesus. And they come and some of these rallies, they come forward, and at the front they kneel down and they pray to Jesus and they receive his forgiveness and his salvation. And they're born again, they get the Holy Spirit, they're alive, they're new, Jesus is fresh, he's their Saviour, and they worship him. And so it begins, the Christian life. But a few years down the road, you might find the same Christians in a nice cosy church where nothing much is happening, thinking to themselves, I'm alright, huh? I am born again. I have Jesus. And my life's a lot better than it was. And I can hold down a job now, and I can make an honest wage, and I can, you know, I can buy a bigger house, a better car. I've still got some money spare to give to the church. And, oh boy, people have lost their way. Christians, after a few years, they're full of this. Full of it. I mean, I examine my own hearts. I'm not talking about you here. I know a little of what I see in my own heart. Everyone has these things. And so when Jesus says we must be born again, we need new life all over again. It's like we need another completely fresh beginning. We did a whole new beginning in our lives. Like we hadn't even become Christians almost. It's like we need to come to the Lord again. You know, we need to come down to the front of the church and we need to kneel at the altar or whatever it is. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I lost my way. I've become all the sorts of things that I never thought I would be. Because in the past I could never be self-righteous because I was so bad and so on. But anyway, now I need to be born again, all over again. So this is the challenge. We need to become something else than we are today. We need to become like Jesus. So here's a little picture of our lives and the journey we're on as Christians from grind to glory. The journey we're on from carrying our own sin and living in sin to being like Jesus. And it's a long journey. And we might think we're nearly there, but we've hardly begun. Look at us. We're just a little bit along the road. We're a good bit further along the road than some people we think, and that means we can easily settle back and look at other people and say, we've come a long way. We're not like them anymore. We're not like what we were anymore. But look at how far you've got to go. Do you have any idea how holy Jesus is? How glorious Jesus' righteousness is? How beautiful the life of Jesus is? Remember, when Jesus was in this world, he never stopped changing. You think, what? Well, we've been looking at this Recently we've spoken about, especially Sunday evenings, how Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. So he was obedient in little things as a little boy, and he had to become obedient in harder things and harder things and harder things. And so he had to constantly become more and more experienced in obeying in more and more challenging situations where temptation was more and more powerful and the suffering was greater and greater. And he did that. And if Jesus did that to become what he is now, yeah, we certainly can't stop where we are today. So, dare you and dare I ask Jesus to show us where we need to change? You know, dare we pray, Lord Jesus, please help me to see what needs to change in my life. Forgive me for thinking I don't need to change and yielding to that temptation. Help me to see what needs to change. So the situation becomes a bit more like this, where me, the red dot, is now seeking to move, to become like Jesus, to become a partaker of his glory and beauty, so that I can live at his place, and so that he can live in power in my life as well. This is the challenge that the Lord brings to us. Does a rich young man really have anything to lose, even if he does sell everything? Because he will gain eternal life, the thing that he doesn't seem to have at that point, according to Jesus. Or Nicodemus, does he really have anything to lose by becoming identified with Jesus? Now, he is one of the great stories of the Bible, because later on we see Nicodemus start to challenge the other Pharisees about their thinking. They're complacent. They don't think they need to change. They're criticizing Jesus, and then they're criticizing Nicodemus for saying you shouldn't criticize Jesus. And then at the end of the gospel story, Nicodemus is one of the men who goes in broad daylight under the view of his contemporaries and takes the body of Jesus down from the cross. He's changed. And he keeps on changing to become like Jesus, in order that he might share in life, the kingdom of God, be born again, and have eternal life. So here is the first challenge for you and me this morning, is to identify the thinking in us that says, I don't need to change, and to challenge it, and to come to Jesus with it and hold it up before him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. No wonder I'm not going anywhere as a Christian. No wonder I'm not making progress. No wonder I'm not knowing you close in my life, because I don't think I need to change. I'm sorry, Lord. Please, Lord, show me how much I need to change and come into my life, so that I can become more and more like you. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your challenge to us today. We imagine ourselves coming before you, Lord, and saying, like the rich young man, I've done all that. I've done all that. I've kept all these commands. Or we can't even do that, Lord. And so, Lord, we come before you, and we imagine ourselves like Nicodemus, and we think of ourselves maybe just putting you in a place and saying, well, you must be from God, you're doing miracles, and as though that doesn't make any difference to us. And Jesus, we can't do that either. And then you begin to challenge us. Are you not Israel's teacher and you don't know that? Jesus challenges today for thinking that we know and understand if we're not actually changing to become like you. Challenge us today, Lord, if there is the love of money in our hearts, or self-righteousness, or laziness, or rejection of you, unbelief, complacency. Lord, anything of that, challenge our lives today, we pray, and reveal to our lives the evil of our own desire to be complacent, stay the same, not change. And reveal to us, Lord, who you are, and give us the help and the desire to become like you, so that we may have eternal life and enter the kingdom of God. Amen.